Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Tyler, you're the, I guess, the reigning minor league pitcher of the year in the Rangers organization. So before we get to this year, I want to go back to last year. What were some of the big things you did to allow you to progress and develop last year and have the year that you ended up having?
Personally, I love that question because last year was a big year for me. And I think the biggest thing for me was a change in my mentality. I started that, honestly, when I got demoted back in 2017, I changed my mentality. And last year was just building on to that. It's like my biggest thing. I tell everybody it's just baseball is a game. Make it fun. I write that on my hat. And I try to go out there and just do what I can do best. And I mean, what's the worst that can happen? I lose and I come back. As long as I learn from that game, I'm fine with it, you know. So I changed my mindset to that, and I just kind of started faking it till I make it by saying that I'm the best one out here, even if it's not true. I mean, I go out there with the best confidence on the team and think that I'm going to do the best that I can do, and I think that sets me up for success because I do have good stuff. It's just as long as I believe it. That's kind of the biggest thing for me.
And obviously it worked. Mentioned, when we asked the question, minor league pitcher of the year in the Rangers organization last year and off to a great start so far this year. What are some of the things, when you went to Surprise for spring training and kind of looked at the 2019 season, what were the next steps? What were some of the things that you wanted to develop and work on this year?
Again, there's physically and there's mentally. Physically, I just wanted to get my breaking ball more consistent. I mean, the changeup was there last year, and that's something that I can always continue to work on. The command is there. It's just doing some different things that I might not have done in the past just to see if I can do them. Because as you move up, as you progress, you're gonna need to do some stuff that you might not have done in low A or high A. So there's that, and then mentally, I mean, I just wanted to build on what I had. Like I said, just continue to progress with my confidence, being a good teammate. Basically, what I talked to about with like the guys in the front office and all my coaches was just doing exactly what I did last year and staying consistent.
So I'm going to read a few things that some of your coaches and teammates have said about you, and I'd love to get your reaction to these comments and maybe how it fits kind of what you've been talking about. Some coaches have said he's a pro's pro, ultimate team guy, bulldog on the mound, and true competitor. Those are some of the highlights from coaches and teammates, I guess. So when you hear that, when you hear your coaches and your peers saying that about you, I guess it feels good. Does it kind of validate what you're doing and the work you're putting in?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that kind of chokes me up a little bit because I just come out here in the field and just try to be the best person I can, try to be a good teammate. And, the fact that people notice that feels really good. I mean, we don't go up to each other and say, hey, man, you're a good teammate. Like, hey, you're a competitor. Like, we were baseball players. We talk smack to each other. I don't know why we do it. It's just we're like brothers, and the fact that guys actually think that means a lot to me, and just helps me knowing that I'm doing the right stuff and I'm gonna continue.
Who's the best smack talker on the team?
Oh man, that's a really good question. Like everybody just gets under our skin. I mean, my best friend is DeMarcus Evans. Like, we give each other so much stuff, but EJ, Eric Jenkins, he does a pretty good job with it. Like, he's always trying to throw you off your game, which honestly, I appreciate that because guys, like, that's what happens at other levels. That's what happens in the big leagues. There's fans trying to get you off your game, and, like, as annoying as it gets, like, I love him for it. Those are probably the biggest guys just because they're my best friends.
Now, I do know, and I've been told about your relationship. You mentioned right off the bat with DeMarcus, and you guys are two of the really bright young pitchers in this organization. I guess first, how did that relationship form, and why do you think you guys get along so well? Because I've heard from some people that at times you guys are inseparable.
Yeah. Well, we were being the only two high school pitchers out of our draft. Like, I guess we kind of just gravitated towards each other. I signed later than him, so I showed up to AZL like a week later, 2 weeks later, something like that. And it was him and C.D. Pelham. They were just kind of sitting there clowning around. I was 17, so, like, I see two kids that didn't really care. They were just clowning around. I was like, those look like my guys right there. So, like, I went right over to them. I was shy at first. Like, I've definitely matured up a little bit from that. But, you know, they welcomed me right in. And DeMarcus, like, I don't know, like, the first thing I did was just clown on him and just, like, we were making fun of each other. And, like, from there, like, we just kind of loved each other. We were always together. You know, moving up through the system together, that's just another big thing. Like, we've always been together on the same team. And, you know, it got to the point where we just started caring about each other, like so much. I mean, if you ask him, you can't really get affection out of him. Like, I tell the kid I love him all the time. Like, he's a little different. He doesn't really want to say it, even though I know he does. But, you know, like, I know how to handle him. He knows how to handle me on the mental side and the physical side. We know how each other throw, and we know how each other thinks. So, I mean, that's just the biggest thing. Like, we would do anything for each other, I think. So, and it's always going to be that way.
And how much pride do you guys and the others, I mean, it's not just limited to you two. There are a lot of really exciting young arms in this organization. I don't know if you guys ever talk about it, you know, the opportunity, the ability to kind of come up together and reach the big leagues together. But whether it's spoken or unspoken, how much pride do you guys have in people talking about you guys and others as the future of, I guess, the Rangers organization?
You know, there's going to be a lot of pride there, but I think we have more pride in just taking care of each other. I mean, that's why I love this Down East team. I mean, a lot of us have come up together. We were in Hickory last year together. And our goal is to have fun here. I mean, like we've all kind of followed that. It's just a game, make it fun. Like the bullpen, they're down here always messing around, but when it's time to get on the field, they'll lock it in. But they're just trying to keep it loose, and we come out here every day, and we want to make each other better. So like, we think about that stuff and like coming up together, but it means nothing if we're not going to help each other out. Like, we talk about not being a selfish teammate all the time and just being there for each other. I think that's the biggest thing we take pride in.
All right. I got to ask you one more serious baseball question and then a couple that aren't as serious. But you mentioned the breaking ball earlier, and then we went off on the tangent because I wanted to ask you about DeMarcus. But so far, I mean, the numbers are great. Do you feel like the breaking ball has progressed as you'd like it to so far this year? Where are you with the breaking ball?
You know, baseball has become very analytical. So, based off of the numbers, it has progressed. Like, the velo has come up, I think, 2 miles per hour. They gave me some comps in the big leagues, and, like, they were just trying to help get my confidence up. They gave me, like, Felix Hernandez, a few other guys like that, my breaking ball shape looks like. And it's something that I didn't really believe. I was like, wow, these guys are, like, filthy. Like, that was a good confidence booster there. But for me, I think it's definitely coming along a lot. It's just consistency on my location with it, trying to land it for a first pitch strike, because that's going to be a big thing. I mean, I can't just go up there and throw a first pitch fastball all the time. So that's something I've been working on in my bullpens. I've been focusing most of my attention on that. I think I'm like right there, because I've had hints that it's going to be a good pitch for me. So I'm like a tick away from it.
You mentioned the numbers. Do you like the numbers, the advanced metrics, the quote unquote analytics, or are you more traditional and don't like for that to kind of cloud your mind? I guess you like it to some degree if you've consumed it a little bit with this pitch. Yeah. But what's your relationship with the numbers?
I think there's a time and place for it. It definitely helps. I mean, it gives you a bunch of different insights on things with the spin rate, where to throw pitches. But I don't focus my game around that. Like, I'll go to it when I need it. But you know, I started in 2015. Like, our pitching coordinator, he's more of an old school pitcher. We talked about keeping the ball down in the zone, work in and out, get go in for effect, stuff like that. Just going deep in the game, stuff like that. So, like, and I spent my last 4 years, like, this is all very new. I spent my last 3-4 years focusing my game around that and trying to perfect that. That's something that I kind of try to stick around. I've watched old school pitchers and how they've done it. Like, we talk about Greg Maddux all the time and how he just goes out there, attacks the zone, makes and gets guys out in the zone. So that's something that I kind of try to follow. I mean, like I said, there's a time and a place for the analytics. It definitely helps. I think if you find a good middle ground and just find what works for you, I mean, that's the biggest thing.
All right, I don't know if there are any analytics on this. The final question, Tyler. I was talking with Paul Krueger, who I know you know who he is, but for others, he's the director of minor league operations for the Rangers. And we were debating, of all the minor league pitchers, who has the best hair. And Paul couldn't come up with anyone who necessarily had better hair than yours. He really loved the curly locks flowing from the back of the hat. I'm curious if you would put your hair up against anyone else's, and if not, who has the best hair among whether it's current teammates or just other pitchers in the organization?
Oh, man. See,
we ask the tough questions here.
That is a great question. See, because I was talking to him about that yesterday, too. He said that he thinks that our pitching coordinators have the best hair because they're all bald. So,
yeah.
That was pretty funny. But, gosh, best hair. I like to think that I do. Like, I take a lot of pride in my hair. I get expensive haircuts on. I'm barely cutting anything off. Like, I buy the most expensive products for it. I condition all the time. It's, like, down to a science with me with that. But there's definitely some other guys out there with phenomenal hair. I don't know about an organization. I'm drawing a blank. But, yeah, I mean, I can't really go against, like, let's say, like, a Brandon Crawford. Like, he's got great hair.
Yeah.
Like Thor out there, man. Like, those are guys that I kind of want to follow their footsteps with that. maybe not as long, but I want to work with that.
So on the 20-80 scale, you're comfortable giving your hair an 80?
Yeah, absolutely.
There you go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.